Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to What Women Must Know. Thank you for joining me today. This is a show dedicated to empowering you with truthful information so you can make the most informed decisions possible regarding your health and well-being. And that is really my purpose and passion in life. It's providing the kind of information that really makes a difference in your life. So I am so thrilled that you are with me today. We have another fantastic conversation in store for you, and I know that this information will definitely make a difference in your life and add to the immense wisdom and resources that we really want when we're looking after our health and well-being. If you're new to the show, welcome to you. And to all my listeners, I encourage you, please go to my website, whatwomenmustknow.com. It's about to get a whole new look, thank goodness. It's been long overdue. And when you go over there, just opt in to my newsletter because I have these great free special reports. And I also make sure that these radio shows get sent to you every week. You don't want to miss any of these shows, and that's the way to ensure you'll be able to get them and listen to them when it's convenient for you. So that's over there at whatwomenmustknow.com. And my Facebook page also is What Women Must Know, and I invite you to like me over there because I post on a daily basis. And there's just so much fantastic information, important information, information that you probably would not find anywhere else. So be my guest and like me over at the Facebook page, What Women Must Know. Well, what are we talking about today? We're talking about effective, time-tested, inexpensive treatments for life-threatening illnesses. This is such an important topic, and we're going to be talking with the author of the book, Honest Medicine, Effective, Time-Tested, Inexpensive Treatments for Life-Threatening Illnesses, with Julia Shopek. And Julia has been dedicated to providing the level of information that has an immense capacity to provide solutions for what we've been looking for, what so many people dealing with life-threatening illnesses are looking for. And Julia Shopek is the best-selling author of the book Honest Medicine. And through her writings and her blog, Julia's goal is to empower patients to make the best health choices for themselves and their loved ones by teaching them about little-known but promising treatments their doctors may not know about. Julia's writings on health and medical topics have been featured in numerous publications, both online and print, including American Medical News, Alternative and Complementary Therapies, the British Medical Journal, and the Chicago Sun-Times. And she is the author of the book, Honest Medicine, Effective, Time-Tested, Inexpensive Treatments for Life-Threatening Illnesses. So stay tuned for a fantastic conversation today, and welcome to you, Julia.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here with you, Cheryl. I've admired your work for a long time.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It's always great to hear. It's great to hear. I so appreciate that. And I've been really fascinated by your book, Honest Medicine. You go into treatments that I have known about but never really had the time to investigate in greater depth. So this is a wonderful opportunity for me to get educated and for everyone listening to have the knowledge of solutions that are out there and can really help support our bodies to heal and repair. So Julia, I want to start off by just asking you, you've been involved in writing, you've been a publicist. What was the impetus to write a book about some of these lesser known but very effective and proven treatments?
Well, I was kind of pushed into becoming a patient advocate / author of a book because, you know, my dad was a doctor who told me to stay away from the medical profession. He said, don't get involved, you know. But then in 1990, my husband, who was only 40 years old, was diagnosed with a cancerous brain tumor. So I could not, you know, stay uninvolved, obviously. And Cheryl, we were terrified. So we just did exactly what the doctor said, nothing more, nothing less. you know, surgery, which he had to have. His tumor was the size of an orange, you know, so you couldn't just pray it away or give herbs or anything. So he had the surgery, then he had radiation, and then he had chemotherapy. And then he began to suffer every side effect, every complication you could get from the treatments. And I always like to say that slowly, the treatments, not the tumor. And the side effects and complications included hydrocephalus, which was water on the brain, a radiation-caused stroke, which was caused, as I just said, by radiation,
yes.
Multiple seizures, multiple extra surgeries, not for the tumor, but to fix things that had gone wrong. And finally, I got it. I said, you know, you'd better start doing some research. You know, this man is surviving. He was only supposed to live 18 months to 3 years anyway. It was a very serious cancerous tumor. But I said, you know what? Things are going well despite the fact that I haven't become empowered, right? So I decided to do some research, and boy, did that make a difference. I found a nutritionist named Dr. Jean Wallace, and she cleaned up his diet. She gave him supplements that were really helping. You know, she's very scientifically minded, and the supplements were all chosen for his particular needs. And he started to thrive. And his doctors noticed he was living 3, 4, 5, 6. He ended up living 15 years beyond what, you know, beyond his diagnosis. The thing that I noticed was that the doctors noticed that he was doing well, but didn't seem to want to know what he was doing. So selfishly, that was fine, you know, with me, because at least they didn't stop me. But then in 2001, he had a recurrence of the tumor, and at this point, because of the radiation 11 years earlier, his skin wouldn't heal. And I won't go into gory details. All I will tell you and your audience is that he had 8 additional surgeries in a vain attempt to find 2 pieces of skin that would hold together. As I said, the radiation made it just keep falling apart, you know, the suture line. Finally, through a holistic doctor, I found the first treatment that I write about in my book. It's called Silverlon. It's pieces of material impregnated with silver ions, and it's FDA approved for all non-healing wounds. So the story is told in my book, In Honest Medicine, of how I got the doctors to say, okay, you can put it on his head, because they usually don't like new things brought into the hospital. But they said, okay, put it on his head. Day later, he is finally healing. And I was like over the moon. I was so excited, and I thought the doctors would be too. They weren't. And this was my life-changing moment when one doctor came up to me and he said, you know, we've been thinking, and we don't think it was what you found that healed your husband's skin. And I said, I was puzzled. I said, well, what do you think it was? I mean, we put it on his skin yesterday, and he's finally starting to heal. He said, okay. He said, what we think it is vancomycin, the IV antibiotic. And I said, but he's been on vancomycin for 6 weeks. And the doctor said the words that turned me in to a patient advocate for other people. He said, vancomycin is like that. It kicks in. I was amazed.
Oh, God.
Can you believe it?
Yeah. You know, silver is one of my favorite healing tools.
Oh.
I've actually written about silver. I wrote about a nano silver product. So it's a liquid and it comes as a gel. It's also found in some skincare products. But silver is so amazing because it's been used for thousands of years as a healing tool, you know, whether putting silver coins in pots to preserve the water, or whether it's using silver solutions. Hippocrates talked about it. The Chinese, the Persians, the Egyptians, they've all known about how powerful silver is. The capacity, the unique nature of silver is unbelievable for healing. And in all honesty, I wouldn't be without the silver liquid and silver gel. It's a nano silver that I like, but it's not made into you know, strips or I don't know. Is Silverlon made? Is it a bandage? Is that how it's come?
So interesting. And I describe it in my book also, by the way, in an article I wrote for the National Brain Tumor Foundation, because they were interested in this, so I wrote an article for them. It's, as I said, pieces of material. The interesting thing is that it takes the healing potential of the good skin. You have to put it on beyond. It's all different sizes, okay? You buy it in a particular size for your particular wound or whatever, or sore, non-healing wound. And it has to be over the size of the wound. I believe it's a centimeter over the size of the wound, because it brings the healing potential, as this is what the inventor, Dr. Bart Flick, calls it, from the good skin to the bad. And it's fascinating. And I would recommend, you know, if you have something like a brain tumor wound that will not, you know, suture line that will not heal, you're probably better off using this product or instead of, you know, a liquid, because you don't want anything to get inside it. It worked amazingly well. And since that time, you know, I wrote the article for the National Brain Tumor Foundation, and loads of people learned about it. And from my book, people are still calling, how do I get Silverlon? So it's helped a lot of people, and it's a wonderful product. And as I'm sure you know, it was the standard of care until antibiotics were invented, you know?
And now that we have antibiotic-resistant staph and vancomycin now, there's an that's become an ineffectual antibiotic for so many people. There's resistant strains of bacteria to that. So we're back where we started it from. That because silver has the capacity to kill all bacteria, viruses, yeast molds, and stop inflammation. So it has even been effective in these antibiotic-resistant strains of bacterial infections. It's our savior, really. It's our savior.
And thank goodness for it, because we're in trouble with the antibiotics. Mm-hmm. They're just my father, who was a doctor, as I said, used to say, you know what? You shouldn't overuse antibiotics, because he called it. He says it's going to be like bug spray. You know, you're going to get resistant. Yeah.
Your father was a very wise man, it sounds like.
He really was. His most famous quote, made famous by me, was, if a doctor tells you he knows all the answers, run like hell.
Well, yes. Yeah, I loved his advice, stay away from doctors. That's so interesting.
He would just be so happy with my helping to get the word out there.
Yeah, I'm sure he's there, jumping for joy. You're doing such a great job. Well, so this is a bandage. So where is this available?
It is available there. Thank you for asking, because I should have said this from the beginning. There is a website called silverlon.com, SILVERLON. So it's the word silver with LON.com. Now, you can buy it just on the website. And I've been finding out my book is being published in other countries now. And I know that it's a prescription medication or product in, especially like the Netherlands, which is where, they were researching it for my book to give advice on it. But in this country, you can get it without a doctor's prescription. So go to silverlon.com. You can get it there. If you have any questions, contact them or contact me at julia@honestmedicine.com, and I can put you in touch. If you have a situation that needs individual attention, I can help you get to somebody within the company. And no, I do not make any money from it.
So Julia, let's just go over what kind of conditions it could be used for, so people know if they really need it. And I think actually it's something you just want to have at home as one of your, in your medicine cabinet, ready to go if there's any injury or cut or wound. But let's just talk a little bit about what conditions people would want to use this Silverlon.
You know what?
Material.
I'm glad you're asking this, because the holistic doctor that I learned about it from, Dr. Carlos Reynes, who told me about it, he said, because he had heard Tim had a non-healing, that's my husband's name, had a non-healing head wound, you know, suture line. He said, you know, I use this product for people with diabetic wounds that are not healing. And it's also used for burns. So those are the main things it's used for. But when Tim was dying, I found it also worked for bed sores. It works for any non-healing wound. And I can't say, as with all of the treatments that I write about in my book, it may not work for every single person, but it sure has worked for us and everybody that I know of.
Well, it'll, you know, it's antimicrobial, so it'll stop the growth of bacteria and viruses, yeast, molds, all those things that we're so vulnerable to. It seems to me that this is something you would want on any kind of wound, especially if it's, you know, potentially get infected, put it that way. You would want to cover it and use it because it's wonderful. It's safe. It's, non-toxic.
Right.
But people really need to appreciate how powerful silver is to kill any bacterial infection. Facilitates healing, like you were sharing with your husband's wound, and especially in wounds that are really resistant to healing. It's pretty phenomenal, you know.
And, you know, one of the sadnesses of my life is that the doctors, as I said, you know, in my introductory story about Silverlon and about my husband Tim, that they weren't interested because, Cheryl, this is a problem that happens with lots of cancers, you know, if you have radiation. But think of it, especially with brain tumors, because there's no extra skin on the head, even though they have the expression fat head. It's not true, you know. This is a common problem. And because his doctors were not interested, they really were condemning future patients to death. So I would love to see it be part of the protocol. You know, somebody has skin that's been radiated due to cancer treatments, and I would love to see it be used, Silverlon, right away after a surgery that's post radiation. So
you know,
that's one of my big missions.
So I'm looking at the website as we speak, and I notice that they have a Silverlon tubular digit sleeve. So it's over people's toes, which really is of interest to me because my dear 93-year-old mother has an inflamed toe, and it's because she's rubbing her toe in a certain way in her shoe. She's got walking problems. And it just causes constant pain. It can't heal. She's always irritating it. It just would seem, I mean, they're tubes. They go over the toes. It seems like this would be the perfect thing to help her toe heal. What do you think?
I think it definitely would. And, you know, when after Tim finally healed, I didn't want to take any chances. Are you ready for this? I had the company make him a Silverlon hat. I really did. That I had to wear all the time. I was terrified that it was going to open again. It never did, though.
Yeah. Wow.
But I think that might work beautifully for your mom.
Yeah. So it's made as, strips and bandages and dressings and Band-Aids and those little tubular sleeves, which is a great concept, there must be a lot of problems with people in their toes, you know, to make it in that form.
There are
diabetic wounds or whatever.
Mm. Yep. And you can have them make it. I believe the company will make it just like they did for my husband, you know.
Yes, they customize it.
Yeah. They can do whatever. So it's a wonderful, wonderful product. And, you know, after this happened with my husband, I was like, you know, for 3.5, he lived 3.5 more years, and he was, because of all the surgical assaults on his body, and I used the word assault, you know, with 8 additional surgeries. If we had found Silverlon earlier, obviously that wouldn't have happened. But he, because of all these surgical assaults, he ended up being brain injured much. He was not brain injured to a huge extent, you know, during his 11 years before this happened. Brain injured, paralyzed, bedbound, incontinent, you know, and stayed that way, basically. I tried my best to bring him back, but for 3.5 years I was taking care of him. And then he did die. And all the while I was saying, you know, there must be other treatments like this, like Silverlon, that doctors just don't know about. And here's the thing, the kicker, that would be better than the treatments that the doctors are using. And I set the bar really high. I said it had to be for life-threatening conditions. It could not be just for a cold. You know, I wasn't interested in something that worked for a cold. Of course, I am interested in that, but I wasn't interested in writing about it. It had to be for a life-threatening illness. The treatments I wanted to write about had to have been around for, I set the bar, you know, I was kind of like 20 years or 25 years. They had to have had thousands of people who have been helped by them, and they had to have doctors who were proponents, who were pioneers, who were, you know, spreading the word. And I was able to find three other treatments. Silverlon's the first one that I write about. But I found three other treatments, yeah.
So before we go into the others, are hospitals and doctors getting interested in the Silverlon product?
You know,
is it making its way into the system?
It is, but slowly. This is a small company. There are other silver materials. There's one called Actacote. But from what I understand, and, you know, sometimes when you have a personal experience, Cheryl, you know, you're just wedded to the one product, you know. I am convinced that it's probably, you know, by the way, if you go on the Silverlon.com, they actually have comparisons of the different silver products and how Silverlon, you know, has better coverage and does better. But I'm hoping, especially wound healing clinics, but my hope as a personal thing is that people who deal with post-radiation cancer patients, you know, having surgery, mm-hmm. I would wish that they, because, you know, that happens all the time, that a wound will not heal, a suture line, after somebody has had radiation. It just won't. And often it does, but often it doesn't. And wouldn't this be a great thing if more hospitals were aware of it?
Oh, definitely, definitely. So it's so wonderful because silver is so safe, effective, you know, no side effects.
It's none.
Like, you know, and we all need to be carrying and keeping all forms of silver. And I love the concept of bandages and material that you can, you know, make into bandages or buy some of the bandages and whatever size is needed. Certainly, there's some ready-made on that site. Okay, so there's Silverlon, so this, the healing benefit of silver. So let's go on to the other treatment that I have heard of, but to be honest, I haven't really investigated, and that's low-dose naltrexone.
Let's I'm glad you chose that one to talk about next, Cheryl.
Yeah, that fascinates me. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, go on.
No, I just said it fascinates me. I know just a little bit, and I've been wanting to learn more, so... So fill us in, Julia.
Well, you came to the right place because it's one of the treatments that, you know, when I wrote about these treatments, Cheryl, they were all kind of equal to me, and they still are in their own ways, right? But, you know, low-dose naltrexone, and I'll tell the fascinating story about it but in a minute if you'd like, but low-dose naltrexone has been helpful to people with all sorts of autoimmune conditions, and conditions of a dysfunctional immune system. And think about it. There are at least over 100. And, you know, there is multiple sclerosis, rheumatoid arthritis, Crohn's disease, Hashimoto's, Graves' disease, on and on and on. You know, as a matter of fact, there are lists of them. And low-dose naltrexone has been found to be effective. So whenever I'm on radio shows or internet shows or whatever, I get calls, I get emails. My doctor never told me about low-dose naltrexone, or LDN, as it's called for short. I am upset, but now I want to find it. Help me. So it's the one that, you know, I was on one overnight radio show, and I got 450 emails, most of them about low-dose naltrexone, you know. So it's probably the one that applies to the most listeners. I hope that's a good way to put it. It was originally invented. It was actually a designer drug in meaning that it was created for a purpose. And that was in the 1980s, 1984, it was FDA approved as naltrexone, high doses of the drug naltrexone, 50 milligrams, for drug addiction. And the idea was that it would make it so that drug addicts, heroin addicts, would not have a craving for heroin. And there was a genius doctor, very curious doctor, named Dr. Bernard Bihari, who at this point in the mid-'80s, and actually before that as well, was working in New York City in several of the New York City health departments, working with people with heroin addiction. And he said, let's try this naltrexone. You know, wouldn't it be great if there was a drug that would stop their cravings? And so he used it. And he said, whoops, because at high doses, it did have side effects. And doctors, by the way, Cheryl, were using it in not only 50 milligrams, but 100, 150. And he looked at it, he says, in good conscience, even though, by the way, it is used still today, naltrexone for drug addicts, he didn't feel comfortable using it for his patients. But he noticed that it had an immune modulating property, which meant that it made the immune system act correctly. If the immune system was too strong, it would temp it down. If it needed temping up, it would do that. And he said, this 50 milligrams is not going to work out. But let's see if I titrated it down and how low can we get, and then it would still have these properties. So he got it all the way down to 3 milligrams. And by the way, a lot of his patients also had what later became known as HIV/AIDS, and he started giving it to them, and their symptoms of AIDS stopped progressing. The disease itself stopped progressing. And then he said, it probably would work on other diseases of the immune system. And at that point, his daughter's friend named Chris Lombardi, I still remember her name, came to him, and she had multiple sclerosis. And at that point, there were no multiple sclerosis drugs on the market. And I always end up saying, thank goodness, because she would have been given one of them, right? But there was nothing. And so she went to her friend's father, and she said, I wonder if this drug that you're working with, this low-dose naltrexone, he named it low-dose naltrexone, would help. Dr. Bihari said, wouldn't hurt, It's, no significant side effects at this low of a dose. Gave it to her, and her symptoms of MS, her MS stopped progressing. And then, this was the age before the Internet. The Internet was around, but everybody didn't have one, right? Didn't have a computer. The word got around just by telephone and by people writing to each other, and it became, I like to call it, a cause célèbre. People started coming to New York, to Dr. Bihari, with lupus, with rheumatoid arthritis, with Crohn's disease, with chronic fatigue, with fibromyalgia, and all of them, not everybody, I do not want to say it's, there are some people it does not work on, but a good percentage were getting relief. Interesting. In some cases, complete reversal of the disease. In some cases, just stop the progression. And then some institutions, some research people started researching it and finding the same thing. Stanford did small studies. A man named Dr. Jared Younger, he did studies for fibromyalgia. Crohn's disease was studied at Penn State. Jill Smith and Ian Zagan, and Bruce Cree studied it at University of California, San Francisco for multiple sclerosis. Everybody found that it was working well. So now it's all, I hope I'm doing my little bit, but do you know, Cheryl, you mentioned Facebook in your intro. There are actually Facebook groups dedicated to low-dose naltrexone, and it does my heart good because the word is getting around and more doctors are prescribing it.
So do you know how it works? It's a mechanism of action.
This is where I am the weakest. Yes, it goes in on the opioid receptors, and this is where it's much better described in my book by a man named Dr. Gluck. And David Gluck was Dr. Bihari's colleague, and he describes the whole mechanism of it And it's a fascinating, fascinating thing. By the way, if anybody would like to have just Dr. Gluck's chapter, just send me send me an email, Julia at Honest Medicine, and in the subject line put Dr. Selman, Dr. Gluck, okay? And I'll know where you heard of it, and I'll send you the chapter.
Okay, so low-dose naltrexone is a prescription drug, correct?
Yeah, and it's made, I'm glad you asked that, because it's made by, it was, as I said, FDA approved in 1984 at 50 milligrams. That's how it's still made. So compounding pharmacies actually make it in doses for people with autoimmune diseases. And there are several, there's a lot of, I wouldn't go to just any compounding pharmacy. If you're interested in the compounding pharmacies, write to me again and I'll send you a list of them. Not that it's a complete list, but at least you won't be steered wrong. And they're making it, the guy who makes probably the most of it is named Dr. Skip Lenz, and he goes to all of the conferences and is a speaker, and people who see it work are very enthusiastic about it, you know?
So do you need to have a doctor's prescription, or can you? Yes. So and then you'll be directed to a compounding pharmacist.
Yeah. And you know what? I've started to do coaching to teach patients how to convince their doctors to prescribe it. We do have a list of prescribing doctors, but in my opinion, it's always good to get your doctor at least on board. You know, so that you know your doctor knows what you're doing. Because my dad, as I said, was a doctor, and he used to come in and go, you know, more patients are bringing me articles from the Reader's Digest. They think that the Reader's Digest knows more than I do, you know.
So that can often be a challenge for people who don't have doctors that are particularly open, receptive. But if you have a list of people, will some of these doctors do phone consultations?
Some will. So we're making it so that almost everyone who wants it and who's appropriate, you know, if you want to take it for something that it's never worked on, well, it's not going to hurt you. But, you know, I kind of say, you know, don't waste, especially if it's a life-threatening condition, I'll go like, you know, you really should be looking for something else. But it works for a heck of a lot of conditions, just unbelievable.
For autoimmune, which are
so
many conditions now, anyway. For people who can't find relief or solutions.
Well, actually,
option.
You know what? It's interesting to me. You know all the ads on television for things like Humira and Remicade and all of those? Those are for autoimmune diseases. And have you listened to the side effects? I mean, they're terrifying. You know, things like lymphomas and, you know, it lowers the immune system and it does all sorts of stuff. So, and also they're very expensive. I think they're going to break our healthcare system, you know, if insurance keeps paying for these. And an LDN, low-dose naltrexone, is so inexpensive that, oh, gosh, it depends on the compounding pharmacy, $20 a month, $40 a month,
really?
Less than most people's copays for their big drugs. Yeah.
Wow.
So it's kind of impressive.
And are there any side effects?
Yes, there is one, and some people do get it, and that is vivid dreams, or some people get the insomnia. Now, my mother has a form of, she's 99, and she has a form of cancer, chronic lymphocytic leukemia, and it also has been used for some people with cancer. And so I got her a prescription, and she called me the next day, and she goes, I'm really enjoying my dreams.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Does it work on those neurotransmitters? Do you know?
I believe so. And, speaking of, do you know that a lot of people with Parkinson's are having excellent results? And now it's also being studied for a lot of pain conditions because, as I said, it was studied by Dr. Jared Younger, you know, for fibromyalgia at Stanford. And now it's being studied for all sorts of neuropathic diseases, which cause pain. And it's been found to be very successful in a lot of them.
Wow. So it's used for a variety of neuropathies or
yes.
neuropathic types of conditions. That's important. I mean, people cannot get much relief if they have neuropathy of one
nope.
sort or another.
Nope. And a friend of mine now is taking it for trigeminal neuralgia, which is, you know, facial nerve. And I did research before recommending it, and you know, a lot of people with trigeminal neuralgia, I found on several of the Facebook groups and the Google groups, said it was the only thing that helped them. So it's a work in progress. You know, I, as you probably can predict, can understand, no drug company is going to want to do these big studies, you know, on something that's so cheap and has been around for, what is it, 30 years? So a lot of it is, they call it anecdotal. I call it patient evidence-based medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I don't like the word anecdotal.
Well, so for people who are diagnosed and struggling with things like Parkinson's and MS and lupus and, you know, some, well, any of the autoimmune conditions, especially some of the more difficult ones, like the ones I just mentioned, to find anything of that can work effectively, this is something that people need to look into.
Yep, and I'm in the process of writing another book on low-dose naltrexone, and we're including stories about, you know, of several of these conditions. So, you know, this is exciting. And there's one woman, her name is Marlene Lindstrom, who is on a lot of radio shows, you know, talking about how it's helped her Parkinson's. So this is exciting.
Absolutely. Is there anything else that you want to add about low-dose naltrexone that you haven't we haven't talked about before we move on to the other components?
Well, I think
of your...
that I think. Thank you for asking. I think that we've kind of covered it. If anyone has any questions, though, they may feel free to write to me.
Okay.
Again, it's Julia at Honest Medicine. I find that so many people, if I, you know, I think that I covered everything, but I might not have, you know.
Well, I think that's where people probably want to get a copy of your book, Honest Medicine, because you go into more detail about all these things.
I do.
We're just kind of touching the surface of them. But I will definitely look into low-dose naltrexone. It just sounds like it can benefit so many people who have not been able to find any solutions for their, you know, whatever their health challenge may be.
You know, people write to me all the time. I still get letters, you know. Of course, I'm on the radio a lot, you know. But I get letters from people from years back who say, you changed my life. Now, what they mean is low-dose naltrexone changed
yeah.
my life.
Yeah. What about migraines? Does it help with migraines?
You know, some people have said that they did have help with migraines. I haven't seen a lot of evidence, but it's so non-toxic, it wouldn't hurt to try, you know. But you know something, it's real funny. You're reminding me of something. There is a, on my website, on honestmedicine.com, there's an interview. I keep it as the cover interview with Dr. Bahari. And he, at one point, the videographer says, wow, you know, it sounds like everybody should take it. And Dr. Bahari goes, it's beginning to sound like snake oil, isn't it?
But the truth is we have an epidemic of autoimmune conditions. We have so much damage going on to our gut, toward creating a leaky gut, which keeps our immune system on high alert all the time because it's going after all these undigested food particles. And autoimmune diseases have many, many shapes and varieties. They come in all sorts of forms and names, but they are this condition of an overactive immune system which results in the body attacking its own tissues. So, you know, knowing about something like this, the low-dose naltrexone, could serve so many people dealing with so many variations on a theme.
Well, that's why I like to talk about it. You know, I'm so glad you brought it up as the first one, so thank you. Because it has the most applicability to the most to more people who
mm-hmm.
would be listening. And that's my mission, is to help more people, not just to get a book, sell the book, you know?
Sure,
Help people.
So, okay, let's move along to the next piece of your strategies that are highly effective, and that's the ketogenic diet. So,
can't believe it. You're reading my mind.
So let's define what it is and what it does and who is it for.
Okay. Now, if you go online and look for the ketogenic diet, I personally get Google alerts for the ketogenic diet, and now people are talking about it for diet, to lose weight. That's not what I'm writing about, okay?
But it is popular for that purpose.
It is very popular. Every single Google alert, I'm looking for, things about, for what I've written about it, for what it was originally used for. Anyway, what it was originally used for, the ketogenic diet is a high-fat, low-protein, low-carbohydrate diet that has been used since the 1920s as the standard of care at places like the Mayo Clinic and Johns Hopkins for childhood epilepsy. And it for some reason, and this is written in my book, there are people who write about the theories behind it. What happens is that eating this kind of diet for these children mimics fasting. Even in the Bible, apparently, Jesus was asked how he cured somebody with seizures, and he said with prayer and fasting. So this has been around for a long time, that the idea of fasting. For some reason, this diet puts people into a position of being in a fasting mode, even though they're eating. So in other words, you can't go fasting for days and days and weeks. So this mimics fasting, and the diet did very well, as I said, from the 20s on. But then in the 40s and 50s, the Dilantin was first invented, I think in 1938, and after that, the anti-seizure drugs came on the market, and doctors wanted to use drugs. They were much easier to use than a diet. A diet, by the way, that has to be calibrated, I have to point out, to each individual child. It cannot just be, people cannot just go, she said high fat, low carb. You can't do it. It has to be calibrated. It should be started in a hospital. So it was not an easy diet to administer. So the doctors were excited to be able to give pills to children. So unfortunately, a lot of these kids were on 3, 4, and 5 anti-seizure medications at once because the diet went out of favor. And then in 1994, a man named Jim Abrams, who was a Hollywood writer, director, producer. I don't know if you remember the movie Airplane, that funny movie with Leslie Nielsen.
Sure. Yes, absolutely.
That's Jim Abrams. That was his movie that he wrote, directed, and produced. And his son Charlie, 1 year old in 1994, developed what is called intractable seizures, which means seizures that just wouldn't stop. One seizure would end, the next one would begin. He'd have, according to Jim, up to 100 seizures a day. And he took, Jim lived in Hollywood. He could go to the best of the best of the best, So he went to the best of the best of the best, and I'm putting little quotes around that. And the child was put on more and more and more drugs. At one point, Jim says he was on 3 or 4, I think he said 5, anti-seizure medications. In my book, In Honest Medicine, is actually a link to a video of little Charlie with a harness on his back, because without a harness, he was just starting to walk. Without a harness, he would bump into walls because he was so stoned. So at this point, Jim went to the library. And he went to the library, he says to me, I wasn't as smart as all these people are today who know to research, and besides, there wasn't an internet. He went to the library to see how his family was going to deal with a child who was never going to get better, because that's what the doctors basically are telling him. And what he found was this diet that had been the standard of care. And he started to just have copies of, studies. There were small studies from the 20s, from the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, all the way through the 90s. And he brought them to his doctor. It must have been many, many pages. And the doctors looked at them. And by the way, Cheryl, the doctors must have known about the diet because it's been written up in their, in their journals. Because it was, as I said, the standard of care, in the early days. And the doctor said to Jim, don't try it, it won't work. And Jim said, to me, to my everlasting shame, I listened to them, and I let them do a surgery on my little baby's brain. And after the surgery, you can guess what happened. More seizures. And Jim finally said, enough. I've had it. And he and his wife, Nancy, took little Charlie to Johns Hopkins, where he was put on the diet, and 48 hours later, his seizures stopped, never to return. Well, this became Jim's life's work, to get the message out. And he had some tools at his disposal, being a Hollywood person. He had a friend, Meryl Streep. And Meryl Streep did the video, and the video was about, you know, how to administer the diet. And this sounds like one hokey story, because one of the people who was working on the video worked with Dateline NBC, and he said, what a neat story this is, you know. So Jim's story, Charlie's story, got on Dateline NBC, and then all heck broke loose, because it was a two-part story, and Jim had to use one of the rooms in his house just for letters he was receiving. How do I get this diet? So this is because – oh, and another thing is that Meryl Streep then played in a movie called First Do No Harm. She played the mom. You can still get it on Amazon. She played the mom of a child with intractable seizures who was put on the diet, and it's a much more dramatic story than that, because the hospital people did not want her to put her son on the diet. They were against it. And so she did get on the – and then more people started learning. Jim has a website, charliefoundation.org, and Charlie is spelled with an I-E, C-H-A-R-L-I-E, foundation.org. And he contributed – oh, this is wonderful – he contributed the introduction to my book, to Honest Medicine. He also contributed his own story of little Charlie. And he led me to other parents who have – Emma Williams, who has her own story about the ketogenic diet. And by the way, Emma Williams heads up a ketogenic diet organization called Matthew's Friends. Matthew was the name of her child in England. And the other parent is Jean McCauley, and she also has a success story with a ketogenic diet. By the way, I didn't say that my book, Honest Medicine, is filled with people's wonderful stories. They are so moving. And so I love the story of Jim Abrams, though. It makes me almost cry because, you know, this is a man who his misfortune has changed the world. He changed the face of pediatric epilepsy single-handedly. That's what I think.
So this is a movie called the one you mentioned, First Do No Harm, was a movie that I saw when I was at a healing retreat called Living Valley Springs in Australia. And I was mesmerized by it because it was a true story. And then at the end of the movie, they bring all the real people on. But it was so moving about this little boy who really was hijacked by the medicals, literally hijacked by the medical system, wouldn't let him leave the hospital. They had to escape with him and went to this clinic, I guess it was Johns Hopkins, where they were doing the ketogenic diet, pleaded with them to let him in, and it changed this person's life because they were about to do more brain surgery that probably would – I mean, their medications actually made him worse. And then if he had to do brain surgery, God knows what would have happened to him and his ability to even be a functioning human being. So I don't think we really went into the ketogenic diet in any depth. I think we need to explain what it is a bit more.
Well – oh, by the way, may I also say that I had the pleasure. There was a ketogenic diet conference where I got to meet everybody that was part of my book. But I also got to meet the little boy, Tim Intermitty, who was the little kid in the movie First Do No Harm. He's now a big boy, you know. And I got to meet him, and we're friends on Facebook. So I love that story. But anyway, it is I need to say this. It must be calibrated to the individual child. So your child and my child might be they would all be on foods that are high fat, you know, low protein, et cetera, et cetera. But they would be on different diets. And one of the people, there are actually two of the dietitians who are famous for doing the diet. One was in the movie First Do No Harm. That's Millicent Kelly. She was the one who was at Johns Hopkins from 1948 to 1998. And she contributes half a chapter, and an appendix to my book, To Honest Medicine. And so does Beth Zupik-Kenya, who took over as the dietitian who administers the diet to children. So they do a very excellent job of describing what the diet is. And I need to just say again, don't try to do it for your child with seizures on your own. Unfortunately, it's got to be started in a hospital. Oh, and I have to tell this. This is important. Not all hospitals know how to do the diet. So there are now, thanks to Jim and thanks to Beth Zupik-Kenya, whose job through the Charlie Foundation is to go to different hospitals throughout the world and train doctors and especially dietitians in how to administer the diet. And she actually has created something called a keto calculator, which helps the parents after the child has been started on the diet in a hospital to help the parents to administer it at home, you know, to because obviously they don't stay in the hospital.
But Julia, let's just talk about the premise of this diet. What is the basis of it?
The basis of it is that it creates ketones. And it basically, this is where I'm weak with the scientific, but Millie Kelly describes it, it mimics fasting. And it's amazing. And
we have to say it takes out all carbs. It takes out junk food. It takes out sodas. It takes out all the toxic foods that are compromising the body's ability to function. And then it puts in the healthy fats. And it's really a calorie. Well, it's really, you know, it's definitely following the low carb, high fat model, and on cleaning up the diet of these kids. So that's a key part of it.
But you know something? This you're bringing up a point that in a way is kind of controversial, and that is that they were doing a lot of butter, and still do, you know, and creams. And the doctors who were not in favor of the diet were saying, oh, my God, you know, they can get high cholesterol and high triglycerides. And in the book, Millie Kelly tells about one kid who, because he is disabled and is living still with his parents and he's in his 40s, he has been on the diet for, I guess, 40 years, and he has normal cholesterol and normal triglycerides. They can't figure it out. But somehow this diet does not cause that kind of harm for most people. And here's the other thing that we did not say, my fault. Usually these children only have to be on the diet for a few years, and then they can go back to normal eating, which may be sad because then they're eating all the junk again.
Well, I wouldn't say any child can go back to normal eating.
A lot of them do, though.
Yeah, but, I mean, if you really want a healthy child, you don't want them eating crap.
No, you shouldn't. Oh, yeah. No, I'm not saying that they should. I'm just saying that they do, you know?
Yeah, well, they can still manage, but it'd be foolish to any parent who's gone through all of that to just put your child at risk. But I'm sure that they are, you know, I'm sure most people really understand that connection. But the ketogenic diet for epilepsy is quite profound in repairing the brain's function.
Yes.
Hmm. Yeah, so interesting. So we only have a few minutes left, and there's one more modality that you talk about in your book. So we just have a couple of minutes, but do you want to just mention it?
I would love to. We're talking about intravenous alpha-lipoic acid, and this is a treatment that has been around. Well, actually, it's got a very dramatic story, just like the others do. And its story is that a doctor named Dr. Bert Berkson was an intern back in, I believe it was the 1970s, and he was at a very prestigious hospital, and some people came in, a married couple came into the hospital, and they had eaten poisonous mushrooms, and their livers were failing. And Dr. Berkson, still an intern, was told to follow these patients, that they were not going to get a liver transplant, and that they were going to die. And his job was to just write about how they died. Can you imagine? as a, you know, as an idealistic intern to be told just take notes on how people are going to die. Well, he says, I just couldn't do it. He says, I had to try to find something that would help them. So what he did was he called the National Institutes of Health. He talked to a doctor there named Dr. Fred Barter, and he said, is there anything that you know of that can heal failing liver? And Dr. Barter says, as a matter of fact, yes. We're actually studying this intravenous use of the antioxidant alpha-lipoic acid, and we're studying it for diabetic neuropathy. But we've noticed that people with who also had failing livers are regenerating their livers. Would you like to try it? And Dr. Berkson says, you bet I would. And so it was sent by airplane, and Dr. Berkson picked it up at the airport. He infused it into these patients, who, by the way, were named Goostry was the name, and they started to get better. Now, would you have thought that the doctors would be excited to see that these patients weren't going to die? Mm-hmm. No, they were not. They were actually angry at him. They said, what did you do? And he said, actually, they didn't say, what would you do? They said, you did something that we told you not to do. And he said, would you like to know what it is? And they said, no, we wouldn't. Just don't ever do that again. And he was floored. You know, this was an idealistic young doctor. He was floored. But the next weekend, other people came in, again, with liver poisoning from mushroom poisoning and failing livers. And again, he used the intravenous alpha-lipoic acid. Again, they got better. And he says, you know, my goose would have been cooked if it hadn't been that Fred Barter and the NIH were just so excited about what I was doing. So they came. Fred Barter came in from the NIH. He and Dr. Berkson did a study of 79 patients with end-stage liver disease. 75 of them recovered. And so Dr. Berkson became like this little golden boy. You know, he went to Europe with Fred Barter.
So, Julia, and if we don't have a lot of time left, and so let's just get to what alpha-lipoic does. Why is it
alpha-lipoic
so
acid is an antioxidant. It's infused. I don't want to give the impression that it's just as effective as a pill. And it works for end-stage liver disease, people with hepatitis C, with cirrhosis. One of the people in my book, Mary Jo Bean, she had a combination of the two. She had cirrhosis and hepatitis C. It also works for several cancers. And, you know, I don't know the medical thing, but one of the people who writes about it, who contributed to my book, had pancreatic cancer. And it helps with that. So, but the main thing is liver disease. According to Dr. Berkson, he has saved many, many people from having to have liver transplants. As a matter of fact, he's been written up in the NCI, National Cancer Institute's newsletter, as far as, you know, working with patients with cancer. So it's a very interesting treatment. And to me, the sadness of it, which is why I'm glad we're discussing it last, is that there aren't more doctors who are doing, you know, there are lots of who are doing it, but I only recommend Dr. Berkson because I know that he does it well. He's done it for years and years and years. But lots of other people are doing it. So I just don't recommend them because I don't know, you know?
Well, I'm sure he's trained other people.
No, he has not. This is the sad part.
I would think that's kind of sad. I mean, alpha-lipoic acid is a very powerful antioxidant. You know, the thing people need to understand is that they do it as an IV drip, right? Intravenous.
Yeah.
So you have to go. Yeah. Go ahead.
Go on. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Well, I just want to tell people they need to find a practitioner who's able to do that treatment for them. You don't.
I know one of the things that I'd like to say is that a few people have gone to people who have done it and not done it correctly, and they've had bad responses. So my mission, as you know, I have several. I'm trying to convince Dr. Berkson. It's not enough to just do a talk. You know, I think I would love to see him really supervise people and credentialize them for doing it.
Mm-hmm. So where is he based?
He's based in Las Cruces, New Mexico.
Okay. So that's great. People can contact him, and they can, you know, people are dealing with this life-threatening condition. And I think we'll see so many more cases of damaged livers, cirrhosis of the liver, because all these fatty livers are turning into cirrhosis of the liver. So people are getting chronic liver disease, and their livers are failing from being overweight. It's nothing to do with alcohol. It's not taking poisonous mushrooms. It's because we're getting fatty livers.
And we're in trouble, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. So, Julia, before we go, we're right here at the end. You have just given us such a wealth of information, and I'm sure that people listening were listening very intently, because we're all looking for solutions for conditions that we, you know, can't really find easily. So this is wonderful, and your book is wonderful, Honest Medicine. I encourage people to go visit Julia's site. She has some great information there called honestmedicine.com, correct? Is that right,
yep.
Julia?
That's
so,
my handle.
So please, you know, have a look and look at some of the suggested solutions she's been writing about. Definitely look up the Silver On, because anybody can order that. And I just so appreciate the time and energy that you have put into the research, Julia, to bring this fantastic information. And I, you know, personally thank you, because you've just brought me up to speed on a bunch of things. So I always appreciate that. That's why I love this radio show. I get to learn all the time.
Isn't that great?
It is. I feel very, very, very blessed to be here every week. For as long as this network has been existing, so I think it's about 12 years now that I've been doing shows. So it's just great to have this opportunity. So we've been talking to Julia Chopek. Go and visit honestmedicine.com. And Julia, thank you so much again for being here today and for the wonderful work you've been doing and spreading the word throughout the world.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm delighted, Cheryl. I enjoyed it.
Thank you so much, and thank you, all my listeners who are joining me today. And remember, always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. You've been listening to What Women Must Know, and have a wonderful week. Bye for now.